Hello, everybody. This is Jason Peebles, the founder of World Outreach Ministries, and this is another one of our victory videos designed to strengthen and encourage your walk in Christ. In a moment, we're going to look at an exciting principle in God's Word that I call How to Get in Position for Miracles. Actually, this is part two, and in a moment, we'll jump right into it. First, I want to give a great big thank you and shout out to those of you who support your missionary. You know, we're the home office for missionaries all over the world. There's hundreds of missionaries that call our office their home office. And we're so excited about what they're doing. But they all have one thing in common. They trust in and need the prayers and the support of their faithful friends like you. So if you've been supporting your missionary, thank you very much. By the way, if you're a missionary watching this, then this is a great day. You've hit the jackpot. You found the right place. We are the home office for missionaries just like you, and we can help you. We have missionaries that do all kinds of outreaches, evangelism, discipleship, aviation, medical clinics, water wells, drilling for water, children's ministries, Bible schools. Really, the list just goes on and on. Translation work, broadcasting. And if you're in need of a dependable home office, then we can serve you and relieve you of that stress. You know, those of you that may not be missionaries, it is so stressful if you're a missionary worker in another country and you don't have somebody back home taking care of your business. Well, that's what we do. And let me give you our website address. So if you're a missionary, or if you know a missionary that you could forward this to, simply go to our website, worldoutreach.org, and then click on the missionary agency section. And all the details are there about all the items that we do every month and how we can help you go to the next level. All right, let's turn our attention now to this exciting subject. I just love teaching about this, how to get in position for miracles. Now, if you missed part one, you're going to want to go back and catch that because we've covered some of the principles, but let me just repeat a couple things. First of all, what is my definition of miracle? You know, most people have a definition of miracle. It's got to be a razzle-dazzle, somebody getting raised from the dead in order to qualify for a miracle. Let me give you my definition. I have a very broad definition of miracles, and I think it's a good one. That is this, God influencing your circumstances. That's what a miracle is. God influencing your circumstances. So, you know, when you're in the right place at the right time, to me, that's a miracle. If you meet a key person who helps you, that's a miracle, a divine connection. Being in the right place, the right time, having the idea come to you that's the solution to something that you're facing, that's the wisdom of God. That's a miracle. So, yeah, it could be a razzle-dazzle miracle like in Jesus' day, but I tell you, we miss a lot of miracles because we are not in a position to receive miracles, and that's what this study is all about. Now, remember our illustration? I want to repeat it, and then we'll get into new territory here. But we talked about a child who learns to catch a ball. Have you ever observed that? It's really cute. In the beginning, you throw the ball to them, and they just stand there. They don't know that they've got to reach out. I guess I don't know what they're thinking. They think that it's just going to land in their hand. And they learn to cooperate. Did you get that? Cooperate. The ball is tossed. They learn to adjust their stance slightly, reach out, time it, catch it. Miracles are a lot like that. And we see that all through the Bible. Do you remember where God told Joshua? He said, you've got to do something if you want this miracle. You got to go around the city of Jericho and a miracle happened. It did. Do you remember Jesus told Peter, he said, I know you fished all night, but launch your boat out again and let your nets down. A miracle is going to happen. Well, Peter could have said, I don't know. It's been a long night and I'm kind of tired. I'm headed to the house. He didn't do that. He obeyed, and obedience is one of the keys if you want to position yourself for miracles. He obeyed, and it says that they had this huge catch of fish, and it almost sank the boat. It was so big. So God wants to do miracles, but we've got to do our part to position, reach out like the child, and catch it. Now, let me repeat the first couple of keys, and I don't have time to elaborate on these because you need to go back and catch part one. But we said, expect miracles every day. Key number one, expect miracles every day. The importance of expectation. That really sets the atmosphere. Being a positive person who believes that God can work in my circumstances, and you wake up every day I'm trusting God to influence my circumstances. Expectancy. Number two, learn to claim God's promises. We talked about if you want to position yourself for miracles, you got to get hold of God's promises. As it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. So we have a book, a heritage of promises, and you need to learn about those and start claiming them. Now, key number three, and I want to spend time on this because this kind of ties into that area of claiming the promises of God, but the third key is this: learn to receive the answer at the moment of prayer. I'm going to say it again. This is so important. If you want to position yourself for miracles and get in the right mental state and the right spiritual posture, you've got to learn to receive the miracle at the moment of prayer. Now, why is this so important? Well, it's really what faith is all about. Anybody can receive something once it shows up. Ooh, there it is. That's like taking the ball and placing it in the child's hand. But it's one thing to cooperate by at the moment that you pray, from your point of view, it's a done deal. It's done. The best example I think I can give is if you had somebody that you absolutely trust. For some of you, that could be a parent. I realize for some of you, it's definitely not a parent, but I'm trying to reach out and give an example here. It could be a parent. It could be a best friend. It could be somebody that you've known for years, and you just know that their word is their word. They call you on the telephone, and they say, okay, I'm dropping a check in the mail today for $10,000. I'll just use that as an example. You know, you wouldn't at that moment say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, maybe you would, but that would not be a good posture to have. As far as you're concerned, it's a done deal. Why? Because that person is trustworthy. They've given their word, and so you know it's going to show up. Now it's a matter of time until it shows up, but it's a done deal in your head at that moment. If I can use that example, which I realize falls short of our relationship with God, but when we pray, and watch this, we're not just praying, if it be thy will. Now, there are some things that would fall into that area, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But most things that we pray for, we should already know the will of God. You say, Jason, how do we know that? Because remember, you're basing your prayers on the promises of God's word. So you would never say, Lord, if it be thy will, give me your wisdom in this situation. No, because James 1 verse 5, we already know what God's will is. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously. So it's a much better posture to say, Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. I receive your wisdom right now. Now, it may be some time before it shows up, just like the check illustration. But at the moment of prayer, you're thanking God. And that's another key we'll get into in a moment. They really run together. But at the moment of prayer, you receive the answer. Now, let me give you a scriptural foundation for this. In Mark chapter 11, the disciples had come and they said, show us how to have faith. So Jesus gave a faith lesson, if we could call it that, in Mark chapter 4, or Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. So he's talking about the subject of faith, and he's getting ready to show them exactly how to do it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For assuredly I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Now, get the picture. Jesus is talking about an individual who has a desire. They want something to happen. In this case, he wants this mountain to move out of the way. Apply it to your life. It could be anything that you want to move out of the way or anything that you have need of. But this person is in the posture of expressing their desire in prayer. Assuredly, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall be done, he will have whatsoever he says. So Jesus says, you've got to believe in what you're praying about. He says, you believe in what you're saying. Isn't that what he said? But believes that those things which he says shall be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Now don't miss verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, tune in and listen to this. This is so important for your life. If you want to posture yourself and get in position for a miracle, you've got to learn to receive the answer at the moment you pray. Jesus says in verse 24, whatsoever things you ask for when you pray. Now don't miss this. He's been talking about the subject of prayer. He's using a drastic example like, okay, even if you wanted this mountain to move out of your way. And then he segues into the prayer life. So he's talking about praying, expressing your desires in prayer. He says, whatsoever things you shall ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Don't miss the tenses here. At the moment you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall, future tense, have them. Now, if you look at the original language in this verse, the original Greek, what it technically says, believe that you received them. Past tense. At the moment you've prayed, you receive it, so it's a done deal. Believe that you receive them. Past tense. I've got it. It's mine. I have it now. And future tense, you will have them. Now let me help you get a handle on this. I'm going to give you three things, and I'll put this across the screen, that will help you understand this whole idea of prayer and faith. I call it the three phases of faith. And if you'll get hold of this concept, it will jump your spiritual walk light years ahead. The three phases of faith are this: the claiming phase, the waiting phase, and the receiving phase. I will tell you, generally, everything that you pray for, I mean, we all love an instant miracle, and I've had a few cases, not many, but I've had a few cases where it was like, before I got it out of my mouth, the answer appeared. But more often than not, your prayers and what you are hoping for and believing for will go through three phases. And you know what? You can get kind of knocked out of the race in any one of these phases. But there's the claiming phase. That's when you begin to pray about the thing. You're basing it on the promises of God. Remember that? That's one of the keys that we talked about in our last session. The claiming phase. At that time, you should receive it. Remember this key. Learn to receive the answer at the moment of prayer. So there's the claiming phase. It is mine, I have it now. Not one day will, not maybe, not if it be thy will. I'm basing it on the promises of God's word. And Father, I thank you that it's done. I receive it. Done. But then you usually enter the waiting phase. And that's where most people drop out of the race, so to speak, right there. The waiting phase is the time delay that occurs between the claiming phase and the one we all want to get to, the receiving phase. And there's some keys in all those phases. I wish we had time to teach on all those phases, but I'm giving you the best I can in this short video. When you claim on the Word of God, James 1:5. Again, I'll use that example. Father, I thank you that James 1 verse 5 says and promises, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give us all men generously. So, Father, I don't know yet the solution to this problem, but I thank you that I receive the wisdom now. I receive it in the faith form now. I receive it now, and Father, thank you that I will have it manifested in my thinking. So if you approach your prayer life that way, it's going to help you turn your prayers from a begging session into a thanksgiving session. You know, most people, most of their prayers, oh, Lord, please, you know, I just need it so bad. And if you'll do this, do that, Lord, I'll go to church again. Or, Lord, I'll become a missionary. We talked about missionaries earlier. Lord, I'll become a missionary, go to Africa. You know, God's not into making covenants because he's already made a covenant. It's called the new covenant with Jesus Christ. And so we already have our covenant. And our covenant is this, what Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you received them, past tense, and you shall have them. So what's going to help you is understand the claiming phase, then you generally enter the waiting phase, and that's where you've got to have perseverance. And all through the waiting phase, you're going to be thanking God. Thank you, Lord, I have it. Thank you, Lord, I have it. It's mine to have it now. Why don't you see it yet? It's on the way. It's in the pipeline. Just as sure as my friend mailed that $10,000 check. Remember that example? You trust your friend because he gave you the word, even though you don't see it yet. I'm confident. It's on the way. It's mine to have it now. I'm already planning on how to spend it. And so you begin to have trust and faith in God's promises, and it's an easy thing to receive it at the moment of prayer. Now, the fourth key that I want to give you, remember we gave the first two keys in video session one, and then I'm giving you key three and four this time. Key four is use the language of faith, which is thanksgiving. Praise God for the idea of thanksgiving. Now, again, back to our illustrations, a lot of people want to thank God after the fact, and it's done. Anybody can do that. But you know what? If I'm talking to my friend, back to that illustration on the phone, and he says, I'm going to put a check in the mail for $10,000, I don't say, well, I'll believe it when I receive it. Well, with some people, you might say that. And that's where the illustration falls short. But if you have confidence in this guy, you're going to say, oh, my gosh, thank you. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. You're thanking. And then because there's a delay, it's got to be mailed to you. You're not fretful every day. You're anticipating every day. I wonder when it's going to show up. I know I've got it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's mine. I have it now. So I want to look at a passage that is a very familiar passage, but so powerful for our daily walk with Christ. And that is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And it highlights the importance of thanksgiving. Remember, we're talking about getting in position for miracles. Miracles is not just, well, if it happens, it happens. No. All through the Bible, we see the woman with the issue of blood pressing through. We see Joshua going around the city. He had to do certain things to have the miracle manifest. We see Peter letting his net down after he had fished all night. All through the Word of God, we see people having to do certain things to position themselves for miracle. No, you're not buying God's miracle. You're not earning God's miracle, but you're learning to cooperate and have faith in the promises of God. But it says here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Is that what it says? No, I left something out. He doesn't say in everything, let your requests be made known to God. It says, be anxious for nothing. Do you want to live a life above anxiety? He tells you how to do it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't leave that out. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. So what an awesome promise. You want to live above worry, live above stress, live above fretting, live above anxiety? Then the key is prayer, but not just any kind of prayer. The prayer that we've been talking about, which is based on the promises of God. I receive it at the moment of prayer. I'm in that claiming phase. Okay, there's a time delay, the waiting phase, but I'm going to get to the receiving phase because I'm not giving up. I'm trusting in Him. And all through that waiting phase, the key is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're a good God. Thank you that I'm going to see that miracle happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so your life becomes a life of thanksgiving. And it says if you'll do that, the peace of God will settle into your life. I'm paraphrasing. He says the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You can't figure out how this works. You're not going to be able to understand how this works. It's a spiritual law and principle. That when you get in confidence and thanksgiving to God, it says it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So these are principles on how you can learn to catch the ball, catch the miracle that God has for you by claiming it at the moment of prayer, thanking God all the way through the waiting phase, and knowing that it's on the way, it's going to happen. All right, well, I trust that this session has been a blessing to you. Now, we've got two more sessions. Go back and catch the first one if you missed it, and then watch number three and four on getting in position for miracles. This is Jason Peebles reminding you, starve your doubts, feed your faith, and follow God's plan for your life.